Now, as we come today to the third chapter of Leviticus, we're looking, friends, here at one of the sweet savor offerings. We've already had two of them. We've had the burnt offering. We've had the meal offering. And the meal offering set forth the perfect humanity of Christ. We need to emphasize sometimes that he was perfectly human. He was one that could get tired, sit down at a well. He could weep at a grave. He could long for the little children and take them into his arms. He was a perfect human being, and he was God manifest in the flesh. Now we come to the peace offering, and this speaks of communion and the fellowship of believers with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you and I are going to ever come to God is through Christ, and the only way we'll ever know God. And you can see now that no single offering could possibly set forth the manifold wonders of the person of Christ and the many facets of his glory. Just as we need four Gospels in the New Testament to set forth his earthly life, so we need the five offerings of Leviticus to set forth his person and work. Now we notice that in particular here in this peace offering, and we see it in the peace offering is in contrast to the burnt offering, with which there is also a striking similarity. Yet there is a sharp contrast, and that makes this an unusual offering. Now the peace offering does not speak of the peace that Christ made through the blood of his cross. And I'd have you note that, because that's important. And as that has to do with sin, and we'll take that up when we get to the sin offering and the trespass offering, the two non-sweet savor offerings. You'll notice that Paul in Colossians speaks of Christ being made our peace, not as the peace offering. Let me read this. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He made peace through the blood of his cross. But that's not the peace offering. Now, the peace offering speaks more specifically of the peace to which Paul referred in Ephesians. And that is the peace which brings all believers into communion with the Father through the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me turn and read in Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning at verse 13. Listen to this. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Who hath made both one, he hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, in the peace offering, the emphasis, you see, is not upon the peace that he made by the blood of the cross, but upon the peace he is because of the blood of the cross. He's the meeting place of all believers together and of each believer with God the Father. You see, Christ is the only one, friends, who can break down the walls today that are separating individuals, that separate families, that separate races, that separate religions, that separate nations. All are made one in Christ. Then they become a habitation of God in the Spirit and have access to the Father. You see, only believers can join together in partaking of the wonders, the beauties, and the glories of Christ. And they can have, through that, communion with the Father and fellowship one with another as they share the things of Christ. John, you remember, says in his first epistle, first chapter, verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." That's very important, you see. This peace offering brings us together. And it's only as we meet around the person of Christ, that's the only thing, friends, that can draw us together. Don't tell me that I have to fellowship with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. I don't, and I can't. But there's nothing that keeps me from fellowshipping with any person. I don't care who he is who can meet with me around the person of Christ. May I say to you, we're made one there. We're on a level there, and we can enjoy the person of Christ. Now, therefore, Christ is our peace. And we have here a sacrifice from the herd, verses 1 and 5, then a sacrifice from the flock, verses 6 and 11, then a sacrifice from the goats, verses 12 and 17. Then we have the law of the peace offering in chapter 7, and that's verse 11 through 21.